Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Tony.
Yes.
Yes, sorry for the hold up. My computer was going down. I was just trying to call you.
Oh, okay, I see.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here with Tony Henderson Mayers, who is the author of Wise Courtship and is a sought-after speaker with over 25 years of experience, whose message encourages us to build better business and personal relationships and to look for passion in our life. Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Sorry for the such delay. As usual, our computers usually go down at certain times, and it's so hard to get it back on track. But, Tony, I'm glad you're on the show, and I'm glad we're up and about. I was very intrigued by your book, Wise Courtship. Could you give us a little bit more detail about the book?
Well, the book is basically a instruction manual, if you will. Maybe a, hopefully, when people read it, it's like a dialogue. As if you and I are talking, just friends talking. And it gives instructions on how to unveil the true character of the person you're looking to be in a relationship with. It primarily comes from a personal relationship perspective, but it definitely, as I mentioned in the book, can be used for business relationships, friendships, any type of relationship.
Okay. So what actually inspired you to write this book?
There's two things. I believe that we all have a voice inside of us, which I believe is to be God, that speaks to us. We know that there's something that we need to do. Sometimes it comes in forms of irritation, for things that make us upset. And I think that was my second reason, was frustration. Seeing people, great people, wonderful people, hurt, disappointed, let down, shocked by relationships that they got involved in, and some of the reasons, as a matter of fact, many of the reasons were things that they could have seen ahead of time. I'm sure many of us, your listeners, yourself, can attest to the fact that we've had friends that we tried to tell them before they got in a relationship with the person, because we could see clearly some of the signs, but they could not. And it was just so frustrating to see people upset and hurt and shocked. Of course, we all get some surprises that no one has seen coming. But much of what has happened, most people had plenty of signs. And between that frustration and this yearning in my heart that told me I need to write the book, the book came about.
Well, I do find it very intriguing. And you are right. Sometimes we do want our friends, oh, this person no good, but still they fail to listen. So, you know, as mother used to always say, hard head makes the soft behind. So You listen and you live and you learn. But is that
absolutely?
But Tony, is there really a dating?
Is there a system to the dating? Yes, I do believe there is. Now, it may not be as technical. It may not be as thoroughly thought out. It may not be as strategic as one may think. But there is a system. We have rules. And over the years, some of the rules have changed, and some for the good and some for the bad. But there are some unspoken rules and just some unspoken laws that are there that if you don't follow them, you're going to find yourself in trouble in one way or another. We've seen where people, you know, after one date, they're intimate. After one date, you know, they're very close to the person and they really don't know them. And this is proven over time that that just does not work. We have to get to know the person, get to know as much as we can. Before we really open ourselves up to them. And there should be stages of intimacy. And one of the things is really getting to know the person. And so there are stages to dating and a system to it that we have to be aware of and be more than willing to utilize.
Okay. Well, now, Tony, now starting off early in the relationship, if you are on your first date, should you actually be yourself, or should you dress it up a little bit?
I love that because both of them are important. You should be yourself. You should absolutely be yourself. At the same time, there should be some dressing up to a certain extent. Because certainly we wouldn't want to come on a date and we haven't washed and we haven't combed our hair. I mean, you know, those things that we just should do because it not only says we care about ourselves, but it also says we care about the person that we're going out with. So there should be a certain amount of dressing up. There should, you know, you should want to try to put your best foot forward because you are advertising yourself. And also you want to show the other person that you respect them. But it shouldn't be so much dressed up that it becomes phony, that it's not you. You want very early on for people to know how you are and what's important to you. No, I don't advise, you know, going on a first date and spilling out all of your problems and cleaning out your closet and showing every skeleton there is. But remember, when you're going out, you want to be yourself, but you really want the mission is that you want to get to know this person very well.
Okay.
Because we're coming from the premise that if you're dating or you're going to have a business partnership or you're trying to have a friendship with a person, the book comes from the premise that you have done the work necessary to get yourself together so that now you are ready to go out and connect with someone else. So if you've done that work up front, now you really want to focus on, is this person a great match for me?
Now, of course, we have so many dating sites, Match.com, Christian Mingle. I think it's over 1,500 dating sites. But how can you, when people go on those, how are they to know that this person is really honestly being truthful through this website? Because one time I watched Katie Couric, and one woman said that she was actually stalked by this one guy she met on Match.com. She thought he was real nice, and she found out it was the opposite.
Right. You know, you bring up such a great, I mean, these sites can be helpful. It's not my choice if I was to be going through the dating world or even establishing a friendship or business relationship. I like the idea of really just kind of seeing the person, and I'll tell you why. Because I speak heavily and write heavily about getting to know the person. And whereas you could write letters, you could be online with the person, you could send texts, emails, tweets, and get some idea about the person. But as you already stated, there could be a lot of untruthfulness in those conversations. But when you meet the person, and let me just backtrack, you can do a lot of telephone contact and all of that kind of stuff. And when it's time to meet the person, if you don't have a history with them, you can always schedule it in a public place. But when it's time to meet the person, you are going to ask a series of questions, and you're going to watch the person, you're going to see how they are. Some things will be revealed as you are looking at them and you see what their body language is and how they relate to other people. And that's why having this system that I talk about in the book is so important, because when you do it through a system, it kind of protects you from a lot of other things that can happen, such as stalking that you alluded to earlier.
Okay. Now, you mentioned questions. What sort of questions can you ask to get more out of that person to know who they really are, Tony?
Well, you know, when you said you find out, you know, do you work? And all this can be in a casual conversation. We don't have to ask anything that is intrusive or, you know, invading someone's space or privacy on the first date. Some things are just not just inappropriate to ask maybe on the first date. But certainly, you know, where do you live? You know, are you originally from this state? You know, it's the way that you phrase it, you know, the question. You know, what type of work do you do? Those type of things, you know, try to avoid yes and no questions, but questions that will have them open up and say where they work. You know, if you say, what type of work do? Then that opens up a whole thing. They can tell you the type of career. They may tell you how long you've been there. You can follow up with how long you've been there. Do you like your job? And all of those types of things, as they're answering the questions, people do certain things with their bodies, you know, and you can kind of tell and get vibes whether or not they like their job. If you say, well, how long have you been there? If there's a hesitation, or if there seems like there's some uneasiness, then you know that you've hit a territory that, something may not be totally true, or maybe something painful happened there, or something that they don't want to talk about. And so it will alert you, versus when you're online, it's hard to see that. It's hard to hear that because you just don't have that facet, that part to look at, that reference.
I was going to say, too, Tony, if you really have their full name, you know, you can always Google. Google will pull up a lot of information. I think now they have the background check where you could do that, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you go through the dating process, you know, some things are more appropriate to do than others. But that's one point that I brought in my book, a case that we all are pretty familiar with, is with Amber Fry, with Steve Peterson case, Lacey Peterson case, where he was the alleged murderer of his pregnant wife. And it was still under investigation in one side of the state, and on another side of the state, he began to date this woman, Amber Fry. She got intimate with him within 1 week, introduced him to her 4-year-old son. And one thing that she did do right is that she brought him to I'm not sure if it was her office party, but it was an office party. It could have been her friend's office party, and where she met her friend, and her friend got suspicious and Google searched his name, and all of this information popped up, and found out that he had been lying and all of this stuff, and which later ended in them using her to capture him and found that, you know, to get him to confess and what he had done and all of this type of thing. And when they arrested him as he was about to cross the border, he had a rope and some other, I'm not sure if it was a hatchet or gun or something, because he was supposed to meet her. And so they had surmised that he probably would have hurt her too. And so this is really, really important because as time goes on, it gets more and more dangerous. So some of the things that we probably would have laughed at before gets really necessary.
It is. Now, for the ones who may have been dating a few months maybe and they want to know if it's time to get serious or not, what should one consider first when looking to get into a serious relationship?
I believe before you get into a serious relationship, you need to know what it is that you want. Now, we know that we are different people than what we were when we were 18, okay? we do have some things about us in our core that's the same, but we surprise ourselves. You know, when you get in your 20s, oh, my goodness, I didn't know I liked that. And you get in your 30s, I didn't know I was allergic to that. You know, so you change as you go along, and you find out you like certain things and you don't like certain things. But once you have a handle on what it is you want, and I'm not talking about he's tall, he's dark, he's handsome. I'm talking about, you know, I want family. You know, I'm going to be really, really happy if I'm able to work and raise my children, or I would rather be the person who stays home. You have to kind of know all of these things about you, and whatever is really, 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 really important, you want to put that at the top of your priority list. So as you're getting to know the person, you are looking and listening and sometimes researching to see if this person has those things. Because if they don't have those things, they could be the most beautiful person in the world physically, but you're going to be miserable because they don't have possessed the things that in your core are important to you. So those are the things you ought to look for before getting married, because you want to make sure this person is going to be connected to you. They don't have to be identical to you. They can be opposite, and a lot of times that's very helpful. But they have to be connected in the core. They have to be going the same place that you're trying to go in general. They have to like the same things that you like or value them. It's somewhere on their top 10 list somewhere like you value it.
So how much time should you really evaluate your relationship before even getting into a serious relationship or even considering marriage?
I think it should take as long as it needs to take. I believe the younger you are, the longer it probably should take. The older you are, the shorter it should take. And the reason is that when we're younger, sometimes we don't know everything that we need to know about ourselves. We're not always prepared career-wise. We're not always prepared emotionally, spiritually. You know, we're just very much in the unprepared state. And so the longer, the better. Also, some men a lot of times take longer to mature. It's just a statistical fact. That's why women tend to marry older men. So that's something that needs to be taken into consideration. When we're older people, we ought to know exactly what we want and what we desire. It shouldn't take as long. But certainly a general rule of thumb, if it's taking years and years for you to make it down the aisle or to make any type of a commitment, then there's probably something wrong. Because you're going to know early on if this person is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long to do that. What takes long is, you know, you want to plan a wedding or you want to plan how you're going to do things in life if you haven't finished school and you say, well, let me finish school. I have one more year. I want to finish. You know, those are different things. But it doesn't take long to know if this person will probably be a good match for you, if you're asking the right questions and if you're doing your due diligence.
Now, I know I'm a parent. I have twin girls. They're 8 years of age, and I know inquiring mothers would love to know this one because the question probably going to end up coming up for you mothers. Your child going to come to you, mother, I think I'm in love, but at the same time, you're telling them you're too young because as we was discussing, Tony, when I think of a serious relationship, I'm thinking of commitment, intimacy, respect, trust, honesty. How old should you really actually be before actually being in love? Because, see, when you're young, you're thinking, oh, he loves me, but you're still in high school. No responsibility.
Yes. And we're trying our best to be, have a system to something that is so abstract. Because love is abstract, and love creeps up on you. And so with knowing that, I really believe the older you are, the better. And sometimes not too old, because, you know, we can get set in our ways. But I always thought that maybe between 25 and 35 is a great time. But it depends on the individual. Sometimes you have to go further than that. But really young, you're taking a chance. However, since we know that people will or may fall in love at an early age, and many have fallen in love and they have great marriages to this day, because they have the support systems around them to help them. But since we know that sometimes people will fall in love at a young age, I do recommend that this book, and we're working on that now to have them in certain curriculums in certain programs so that they can get the information as early as 13, just like you do when you have home economics and you have some of the classes for family life and development, so that you will be training your mind to think a certain way so that when it comes, you already use these principles.
Okay. And, Tony, what is really God's role in any personal relationship?
Well, there's two things. One, God cares about you. He wants you to have a great relationship. There's a lot of times when people think of God, they think of rules and regulations, and he's taken away all of my fun. And that's the furthest thing, I believe, from his mind. What he really wants is for you to have a great time in your relationships. And so there's a fence that's put around you so that you won't go into danger or danger comes to you. And so if you fall in a system that he has already outlined, you're going to find yourself more fulfilled. The other thing is that if you connect with a person that he has sent you, when you have trouble, just like when you buy a product, especially an electronical device, and you have problem with that device, you can contact the manufacturer. And I feel that's the same way in a relationship. If God sent that person to you and you have problem with that person, you can go back to God, the manufacturer.
Yeah,
and
that's
it will
what my
be
mother,
a lot easier.
My mother used to always tell me, you got to stop looking for love. You ask God for it. He'll send you a godly man or godly woman.
Absolutely. And he will open your mind so that you'll be able to see clearly if that person is for you. And, you know, we have many people that, you know, believe in God and they married somebody and they didn't ask God a thing and it seemed like it worked out really swell. But there's some things that could happen. It could continue to work out and, you know, and he sanctions it and it just works out and it's nice. But you still going to have some problems that most people won't articulate because we tend to be phony about relationships with other people. But also, there could be, it could work out well for a while, and then you have major stumbling blocks that you will either overcome or you will either submit to, and the relationship will break up because it didn't start with him. So it's very important to include God.
Yeah, always. He's the number one. You got to have that strong foundation. Now, most people have fear, the fear of abandonment, losing the other, the fear of endorsement, of losing oneself. When these fears come about, one gets angry, niceness, lying, resistance, denying. But how do we control these fears, Tony?
Well, one, I believe you have to focus on the scripture that says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You have to find some word that you're going to hang on to, you're going to meditate on to make you remember, because you're going to forget. Sometimes you're just going to forget, and then you're just having a bad day, you're going to forget. That's why that scripture is there, to help you meditate and so to remember that you don't have the spirit of fear. And when we are fearful and seem to be overcome, we need to pray. We need to ask him to help us. We also need to have a support system. And not just people who are also going to pray for you, and that's good. And not just people who are going to say, don't be fearful. But people, get ourselves in a circle of people who seem to not be fearful or who know how to overcome fear. Because when you're around people like that, it helps you to step up to that level. But when you're in a company of other people who are fearful, it's easy for you to keep fear. So you want to get with people who don't seem to exhibit fear, or when they do feel fear, they overcome it.
Yeah, you got to stay around praying people. That's the only way you can maintain strong. Anybody who's not
Absolutely.
With God, they can bring you down.
Absolutely.
Now, you used a lot of case studies in your book. What encouraged you to use them?
Well, as I was writing, I said, you know, I just really want to make this practical. I could have gone a route where I used a lot of citations. You know, I have a lot of master's degrees, so I could have went very academic and cited this and cited that. I could have also gone in a theological way, and I'm not downing any of those other strategies. I'm just saying I could have gone those ways with this book. But I was thinking about the population of people that I wanted to speak to, and I wanted to be as real and as practical and applicable as I possibly could be. So, you know, as I was praying and writing and doing, you know, it just, you know, I just felt like the Lord said, well, just use case studies. So, you know, in my practice when I was counseling, when I worked for other people when I was counseling, and in my current coach practice and just working with people day to day, you have people that you see. And case studies are basically, you know, what these people have gone through. So what better way to kind of explain situations, you know, because you can write it down and it's still abstract to the person, but when you put it in a life lesson or you get a chance to look into someone else's life, you say, oh, yeah, I see myself in that. Oh, my cousin was like that. Okay, my girlfriend is like that. And you're able to kind of apply it to your life.
Now, usually a person wants a natural progression, and developing friendship is important because you can be honest and comfortable with each other. And should every relationship start off first as a friendship before you just jump in?
Yeah, it really should. I mean, you know, you have people who say it's love at first sight or whatever, and that's great. But it still should be developed as a friendship first. You can't just go in just, you know, it's lust, it's lovey-dovey, it's all of that, and it's never a friendship. Because for those of us who are married, we know that it's going to be a less of the hugs and the kissing and the holding hands and the lovey-dovey and I can't eat and I can't sleep. It's going to be more of you are going to be my friend because we're going to be paying bills and we're going to be doing this and that. And even if it's a business relationship, if it's a friendship relationship, you're going to go about the rudiments of everyday life. And it's going to be less of, oh, wow, this is so wonderful, and we can't be apart from one another. So why not start with what it's going to be for the majority of your life?
Yeah. I do, and I believe every word of that. Oh, Tony, I know I meant to ask you something before skipping to that one. Which case study was your favorite or is your favorite?
I think it would probably be Mr. and Mrs. Broke A Lot. And I wrote their last name is Lot, and their middle initial is A, so it's Broke A Lot. But the whole case study is about money and how money plays out in the relationship, and which is one of the number one reasons why people divorce, by the way. And probably we need the statistics on how friendships break up, and I bet you it's over money, too.
Oh, yes, that can be the worst thing. But they say most people break up if sex is the number one factor, too, if that's all you put into. Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely, if you know. And it usually won't last very long at all.
Because once that's dried up and you have nothing else, then what will you focus on? Because I had one guest on the show. He was talking about he had erectile dysfunction, and he was saying that he was a better lover than normal men. And I believed him because the fact is he has to use other ways to be intimate with his woman. Like he said, he gives her baths. You see, I'm the fine guys talking about that, giving a woman a bath. Cook a nice dinner for her. You can love her in so many other ways than just always sex, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
For women.
Absolutely.
Can the advice that you give in your book really help someone, though, Tony?
Yes, it can. And I had always believed that when I was writing the book, because I tried to use examples of people that I knew, people in my case studies for myself. And it was something that actually has been around for a long time that I've seen, that I've utilized. But then we've had preliminary people read the book, and then, of course, those who have purchased the book, and I've gotten so much feedback about how it's really, really been helping people. And I'm just very, very happy about that.
I know you are, and it's it really is helping. I think it can help, even if you are married, it can still help you to show you the way. So that's why I really found interesting about the book. And it seems that by reading this book, you can, you feel empowered to take control of who you choose to be with. And is that a fair estimation?
Yes, it is. And let's face it, we only have one life here on the earth, and we want to make sure that the people that we're connected to, that we're enjoying the relationships, the friendships, the lifetime relationship that we choose to have with a person, the business relationships, all of what we do is relationships. And so we want pleasant experiences. And this book is a great help to it if you're true to it and you follow through with the steps.
Now, I would also like the listeners to know, like, steps to having a healthy relationship just to keep it still bonded and strong.
The steps to a healthy relationship?
Well, yes, ma'am.
I think I really believe that this book would help do it because I was teasing someone. I said, well, this book will help you get to the altar, or this will help you find a person to have a great relationship with, friendship. But after that, you're on your own. I was just joking with them with that. But, you know, really the steps that are in there can carry over into. But it's what you do up front, you know. I'm trying to think of something that I can make an example to that where preparation is so important, and once you do all of the preparation, once you get to the point that you're trying to get to, it's all gravy after that. I mean, you still have a certain amount of work you got to do to maintain, but the biggest part is the preparation, because if you don't really take those steps and look and get to know the person and talk to them, and all those things that I mentioned in the book, when you don't do that and you just pick someone, and you're there with them in a relationship, I don't care what you do afterwards. It's just going to be a mess, you know. But if you do everything you need to do up front, then the maintenance part gets to be a lot easier, you know. You can do a lot of things, just focus now on pleasing the person and having a great time because you guys are friends. And then you're also either lovers or you freaking have a friendship or it's a business relationship. And after that, it's just great. You just got to maintain it and be appreciative of it.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the only way you can keep a healthy relationship. And I also feel that you have to keep outsiders out of your business a lot. Because do you feel that same way, Tony, the outside opinions, these sorts of observations, are they really important to a possible relationship or a marriage, or can they be a hinder?
Well, before the relationship begins, they can be a help and a hindrance, and afterwards too. You have to put them in their proper perspective. But if we're starting out to get to know someone, asking the opinion of your mother, if these people are in your corner now, because we can't even assume now that our mother is in our corner, that everyone minds it, you know. But somebody else you meet and say, well, my mother, she hates me, you know, she abandoned me or whatever. But those people that's in your life that you know love you and took the time to be with you in your care or raising or whatever, sisters, brother, whoever, those people are important when you are looking for someone or you're dating someone or whatever. So if you got the majority of your family who have proven to be level-headed and they're saying, oh, he's controlling, I'm telling you, he's controlling, he's not right for you, you will really want to kind of sit down and listen. And even if you're still not sure, you can get a counselor to help you along so that whatever you say to the counselor who's subjective, will be able to say, yeah, I think this person may be controlling. You might want to watch that. So family members and friends can be very helpful in that regard because they know you. They may also say, oh, this guy is a great guy. You know, you love to cook and they love to cook. You know, so they know some things about you. However, they can be a hindrance if they don't know their place. And if they're coming from a place that they're not really being helpful, but they're being selfish, or they've been controlling, or they've always been negative, And so you have to be very observing and being very truthful about your relationships with outside people so that you know where they're coming from when they say things to you. And that's why building the friendship with the person that you're trying to be in relationship with is so important, because you will know how to filter out those people. Now, if a person has been proving that they always have been there for you and loving and kind, you want to give an ear to this person. But if the person has always proved that they've been negative and tearing you down, you don't want to give an ear to that person.
That I do agree. Because sometimes, and then you got to watch the ones who are always trying to be negative while you're in a relationship, because sometimes we know it goes the other way. They be trying to go after your mate. Oh, this person doing this, this, and that. I've been through that before. Oh, our
time.
And haven't, and told them they haven't seen nothing. They be saying that, so yeah, you can go on, break on up, and they be right along with them.
Absolutely, and that's what I like about this book, because even though I put it in the category of, when we think of the word relationships, we always think man and woman, love, Valentine's Day, you know, we always think of that. But this book is truly about relationships, any type. And so you bring up a great point that, you know, someone else may be being negative because they want to take what you have. But if you have that, the skills of what the book is outlining, you'll be able to see that too and say, okay, mm-hmm. You know, and you'll know exactly what you need to do because you have those skills. And people come at you in all kind of ways. And we have all types of relationships that we have to constantly manage and keep under control.
But are the measures to be taken outlined in this book really necessary?
I believe so. And I think they're going to be even more necessary. We have less and less people who have had the structured family that we know of. And even beyond that, even those who have been raised by grandparents and aunts and uncles and sisters with love, we have less of that as well. And because we have less of that, you know, it's really wreaking havoc on family and how people relate. Also with technology, people are texting and tweeting. And I do all of that with my business and book. I have to. But we see with young people less and less of social interaction. And so their social skills are low. We see more and more that people are abusing relationships, whether it's domestic violence, whether people going, crossing boundaries, incest, molestation. We see people who abuse relationships in this way. I know you and I probably would do this, and I've done it before. You see an older couple on the side of the road. You pull over to, do you need help? You want to help them change their tire, but it's getting to the point that people are afraid to do that because people have abused the relationship you could have with a person by they're dressed like they're older or they are older and they'll kill you or hurt you. So now you have to be so much more wiser with relationships that you have with people. And so these measures are definitely necessary. They're also necessary. Even if you didn't have all of that drama to think about, you are worth taking the time to figure out who deserves to be in your life.
Exactly.
We take the time to find the right car. We take the time to find the right job. Who wants to be our nails and our toes? Absolutely. Why not take the time and do the work to see who would be best qualified to be in your life?
That's right. And that's so true. We do everything else except looking out for really what we need to look out for ourselves, our heart. We can look pretty all day, but we need to just maintain. And I say for the man, too, because we do have good males out here. You got to be careful, guys, because these women some women are just as crazy. Hey, I watch my Lifetime, and
absolutely,
don't be pretty. You'd be like, Dawn, did she really kill him for insurance money? I mean, people might be so set up, and I'd agree with you so much, Tony. You have to take your time to evaluate. Don't listen to your friends, oh, you haven't had a man or you haven't had a woman so long. I take all the time, because that main one you jump in with will be the main one who hurts you. What's that other case, Tony, that you had out? What's her name? I think we was just talking about how was it Lacey Peterson?
Amber. Yes, Amber Fry is the Lacey Peterson case, yeah.
I'm fine. Well, I think she stabbed him 20 times, then cut his throat, and then shot him. And he never.
I know. She found out that he had lied, Scott Peterson, and I think somehow she ended up getting with the police, and they had taped her up and recorded a lot of phone calls. But I think that's what he did do to his wife. Is that what you're saying? I forgot how he killed her wife, but he did throw her in the lake eventually. And she was pregnant as well.
It was another case too. Young lady killed the guy. They've been shown on CNN. I don't know why I can't think of her name. They still talk about her today. She stabbed him 20 times and cut his throat, and then shot him. And he didn't even know her. He thought that she was gonna be a good woman. She turned on him. So that's why I agree with her
absolutely.
All the way. You better background. Hey, I googled you already. I'm sorry, today counsel.
And, you know, I wanted to add to what you said about men, because we do that. It seems, you know, because there's more women on earth than men, and women tend to gravitate toward the conversation about relationships. But when I wrote the book, I also thought about, I have two teenage sons, and I thought about them when I wrote the book, because it's getting so dangerous now. Even for the men, as you have stated, it's getting really hard for them to find, you know, wives or people that be in relationships or friendships. I mean, even the friendships for amongst men, because, you know, another man could be so negative and he could be in illegal activities and all of this stuff. So, you know, I really thought about them too as well. And it's very important for both sexes.
It is. And that's why I said and it don't have nothing to do with mine, because I love my relationship, but the fact of just keeping yourself safe out here, and I do feel like I need to be protected. I want to get me a weapon where I can protect myself, because every time I turn on the news, a woman getting held up, getting robbed, raped, murdered, and it's just getting really sad. Same thing for guys. This world just getting ridiculous out here. You have to protect yourself.
Yes, you have to be very, very aware, and you know, I think we as people in general, we are loving, we want to be connected. That's how we design. We want to be connected with other people. And so many of us have such good intentions and the right heart. And so we have to be careful if we're not physically harmed. Having our heart broken is really very serious. And so we want to just be very diligent and be careful. And, you know, if you do the steps, you can have a whole lot of fun, and it could be wonderful. But you want to put that fence around you so you can play in a safe area.
Well, Tony, I have 2 minutes to the clock. Is there something else that you would love for the readers to leave with when they read your book?
Well, I want the readers to know that no matter how bad it seems, you know, no matter what's going on out there, you can still have loving and fulfilling relationships. You just have to do your part to make sure that that's going to happen to the best of your ability. And just have your eyes open so that you won't either end up in a divorce or a broken friendship or a messed up business relationship, lose all your money, whatever, over something frivolous and silly. You know, some things are going to happen that none of us would have seen happen. And so let that be the case, because those are rarities. But I don't want you to get caught up in something that is frivolous. And I believe this book will be very entertaining, as well as I have humor all through the book. But it'll also be very, very helpful. And I really believe that it will bless you.
Well, Tony, I do apologize for the time that we was not able to get, but it has been really enlightening to have you on the show and encouraging us with your words. And I hope everyone do take heed to get the book.
Okay, and I want to tell them, too, that I am on tour So I will be in a city near you. I'm stopping in Hope Mills, North Carolina, Saturday, February 22nd. And they can order the book at wisecourtship.com, W-I-S-E, courtship, C-O-U-R-T-S-H-I-P.com, or Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Well, thank you so much, Tony, and we love you, and you have a blessed one.
Love you, too, and thank you so much.
You're Bye-bye. Welcome. Well, my loved ones, it has been fun. And stay tuned for tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We will have an actor. His name is Alex Helisek.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.